God.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I stay excited, and I'm so thankful to God that I am, because every book in the Bible is mandatory. Every book in the Bible is packed with information that we need to live a better life this side of eternity. Tonight, we're going to continue in the book of Proverbs. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a break, a commercial break, which at that time, you can ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank you all who have given me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So continue to give them to me, please, so I can incorporate them in to the programming. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, lay up not for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. For where your heart is, your treasure will be there also. That's taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. The promise is that you will have treasures built if your heart is focused correctly. And that's why Jesus said it the way he did. It's not what's on earth, it's what's in heaven that we should be focused on. And the promise is that that's where our heart will be. Jesus said again, for a good that bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. That's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 43 and 44. The promise is that if you bring forth good fruit, you will prosper. But if you bring forth corrupt fruit, you will not prosper. And that's the key, that make sure that your fruit is good. Jesus said again, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So that's taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 40. So the blessing is that you will be like your master. You will be perfecting yourself if you follow Jesus Christ, and that is the key. So the question for this hour is, and it always will be, are we standing on these promises that Jesus Christ has given us? Now, before we go into the lesson, as always, I want to just rehearse it for you that the Bible is a coded book. It is full of mysteries, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code is to study and learning. And that's why we are together this evening, my precious brothers and sisters, to study and learn together. So now let's get to the study. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 24, one verse, 24. And of course, as I've mentioned in the past, in the book of Proverbs, usually the instruction and the text that we read are verbatim. And that's the like for Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. This is what the instruction is. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And this is how the text tells us the same. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And to give us an example of this, let's go to Genesis chapter 18. This is just going to exemplify what King David or King Solomon said. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, and listen to this scenario. This is telling us about being friendly and hospitable. This is what it says. And the Lord appeared unto him, meaning Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. He was being hospitable. Verse 3 continues and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. He was being friendly towards them. Verse 4, let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. He was being friendly towards the men. And this is what verse 17 through 19 concludes with the thought. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do because he's so friendly towards us? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So being friendly is part of why Jesus told us in his gospel that we must love one another and have fellowship one with another, as the gospel also tells us. Now, what we're going to do is go to the New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 15, and we're going to see how Jesus put this explicitly in John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 13 through 17. Listen to what Jesus had to say concerning this friendliness. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. Called you friends, for all things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. So we can see how Jesus exemplified and added to, amplified, if you will, the significance of being friendly. I see we're at our first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's complete this instruction. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And we've already reviewed the Proverb chapter 18, verse 24, and we've also reviewed the comparison and agree text. In the New Testament is John chapter 15, and this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the friendship required of us by God. We must accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God in order to substantiate our relationship with God the Father. If we are not receiving Jesus Christ, we are no friend of his. And Jesus also says that in the book of John. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Proverbs. We're going to look at another instruction out of Proverbs, this time chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 6 in Proverbs chapter 19. And as I read the text, it's verbatim what the instruction is. So this is what the instruction says. Many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend of him that giveth gifts. And Proverbs 19:6 says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And this is something that we have to be very careful of. I'm going to give you a scenario. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 20, and this is what happened with King Hezekiah in referring to the giving or the receiving of gifts and what they can do to dilute you or dissuade you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. This is what 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 through 6 says. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord God, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. And it came to pass, after Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came back to Isaiah, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God, the father of David, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thee 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then verse 12 through 18 tells us exactly what happens when gifts are included in a situation. And disobedience is a result of it. At that time, Baradok Baldad, the son of Beladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that King Hezekiah had been sick. And King Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointments and all of the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasury. There was nothing in his house, not in all of his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are mine in the house they have seen, nothing that I held from them but the treasure that I showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto thee shall be carried away into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which shall you beget, shall be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That, my brothers and sisters, occurred because Hezekiah received presents from the king of Babylon, and it was forbidden for him to do so. And that's why when this says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, as the Babylonians did. And every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And because they gave Hezekiah gifts in his illness for his good health's sake, Hezekiah failed God and was punished for it. Now let's go to Matthew. We're going to go and see in the New Testament how it compares and agrees with this. This is what Jesus had to say. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. Listen to what Jesus had to say about this. Jesus says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name does many wonderful works? And then will I say, I profess unto you, I know you not. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. And I see now that we're at the second break. Let's take the second break, and then we'll come back and finish the instruction.
What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. You see, the whole country is on a quest for something. In drugs, in sex, in entertainment, we want something. We don't quite know what it is. And it's elusive. We don't find it. We go on in our pleasures, thinking they're going to last forever, but they don't. Solomon was the great king of Israel, the son of David. His income was staggering. Nobody that ever lived in history could compare with Solomon in financial worth. Anything he could dream of, he had it. You know how many wives he had? 700. But that didn't satisfy. He had 300 concubines. Every pleasure at his beck and call. He thought it would bring the peace that he longed for. And then he said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. It was a bubble that burst. It didn't satisfy. Something beyond it satisfies. What is it? Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. You see, sin is a disease. It's destructive. And we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sin, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of all truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. We need to repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. What is repentance? It means that you change your way of thinking. You change your way of living. It means that you're willing to turn over your life to Christ, turn over your life to God and say, oh God, I need you. I receive you. And then by faith you receive Christ. Christ. Have you received him? Do you know him? God is speaking to you. Come to Christ.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were looking at how gifts can get you into trouble and how it did get Hezekiah into trouble. And we read where Jesus says that you got to be very careful when you're receiving gifts because it may not be what the Lord is requiring of you and that those gifts will cause you to falter. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that there are charlatans and cheaters, and they will befriend you, but only be careful how you take advantage of what you receive, that you don't disobey God. And that's what I want you to get from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. Back to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8 this time, and we're going to look at what Solomon said concerning he that getteth wisdom loves his own soul. That's the instruction, and this is what the text says. He that gets wisdom loves his own soul. He that keeps understanding shall find good. And we're talking about the wisdom of God. We're talking about the understanding of God. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about the wisdom of the world. We're not talking about the understanding of the world. We're not talking about that which pertains to worldliness or mankind. We're talking only what pertains to godliness. And as we go to Deuteronomy, this will amplify that in what Moses rehearsed to Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 1 and 2, listen to what Moses said to Israel concerning this. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Talking about wisdom from God. And this is what's going to give you soul salvation. Verse 5 through 8 completes the thought. Behold, this is what Moses said. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And what we're talking about is the wisdom of God, the understanding of God. And that's what's key for us to know, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there. Verse 7 continues the thought, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And just like today in the world, only those who are following God the Father through God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are prospering. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? For sure, those who follow, even though there are tribulations throughout, and we know it's going to be that way, still, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that's the wisdom that we're talking about. And verse 8 completes the thought. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? And so, basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. This is what I am setting before you, my precious brothers and sisters, to give you that wisdom that your soul will love. Because only through this will we receive the salvation that I'm talking about. This, now we're going to go to James. Turn with me to James chapter 3. We're going to get, we're comparing and agreeing, and we're going to see how James puts it in chapter 3, verse 13, and several other verses. Listen to what James says about this wisdom of God. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom and knowledge of God exclusively. And he completes the thought in verse 17 and 18 by saying, but the wisdom that is from above, meaning God wisdom exclusively, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So all of this is going to be your recipient if you follow the wisdom of God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that wisdom is the accumulation of knowledge that enables you to discern, to grasp, and to decode, decipher, and to rightfully divide inner workings and relationships. And that is about God and man and the world. And what's critical is what is about God. That's what I want you to understand, that we're talking about God, my precious brothers and sisters. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back, if you turn back to Proverbs 19, verse 16 this time, and we're going to read the instruction, which is verbatim the text itself. The instruction is, he that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul. So not only wisdom, but the wisdom is to keep, and that's what I should say, the wisdom is to keep God's commandments, and that is what's going to cause your soul to prosper, okay? Now, this is what verse 6 says of chapter 19. He that keeps the commandments of God keepeth his own soul, but he that despises his ways shall die. My brothers and sisters, look around you. That is exactly what is going on in the lives of all of us. Physically, we all will die, but spiritually is the key. And these commandments will keep us alive through Christ. And this is now, turn with me to Deuteronomy. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 6. And this is going to signify exactly what Moses rehearsed to Israel concerning this. This is what Moses said to Israel in verse 1 through 6, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord God will set on thee high above all nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So if you are going to keep God's commandments, this is how your soul is going to be also kept. But listen to what Solomon or Moses also said to Israel in verse 15 through 19. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, and I see that we're at the next break. So let's take this break, and then we'll come back and complete the thought.
There is a constant battle for your soul going on all the time. You see, your soul is important to the devil. He wants your soul. He'll pay any price. And some of you are selling your soul so cheaply. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil will give you the whole world if you'll follow him. But some of you will follow him and he won't give you anything. You're just following him because you're like the pig that's following the man that's dropping the beans, going to the slaughter pen. Every little bit he drops a bean, and the pig goes following right along. And you don't even think that you're following the devil in the wrong direction. Yes, Jesus Christ is the highway to heaven. But be aware, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he said.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue this and complete this instruction that he that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul. We already read what Moses rehearsed to Israel, how you're going to be blessed if you do this. Now this is what he says if you don't do this. How are you going to be cursed? Listen to what Moses says. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the Lord, the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall be thou when thou comest in, and cursed shall be thou when thou goest out. So we can see that the reversal of the blessing will be curses. And that is what will happen if you do not keep God's commandments. And let's go now to our New Testament complement, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 2 and see how Paul put it to the Romans, and this is comparing and agreeing, which today refers to us. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 12. Listen to what Paul says. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who, by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey ungodliness and indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and of also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Paul is telling us through the Roman letter that if you obey God's commandments, your soul will be kept. If you do not obey God's commandments, your soul will be lost. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that it is the inside, our soul, that controls your emotions. The outside of the flesh only reacts to it. God's commandments address the inside of a man. And we know that is so critical because Jesus himself said, it is the inside of a man that defiles a man, not the outside of a man. So from within the man out of the heart comes disobedience against the commandments of God. And that's where we are held accountable and we fall short of the glory of God. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters. Let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 18. And, of course, it's going to be almost verbatim for the instruction as the text. And this is what the instruction says, chasten thy son while there is hope. My precious brothers and sisters, this is critical. Chasten thy son while there is hope. And this is what the text says, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. My brothers and sisters, we can see what is happening in our society today, that we are not following this example of what David or Solomon told Israel. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to see how critical this is. This is to amplify what Solomon said. This is what Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Listen, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God command you to teach and to make you okay when you go into the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So if you do not chasten your sons and your daughters and yourself, meaning discipline yourself, that's a chastening, then you're going to fall short of the glory of God. Listen to what Moses continued to say in verse 6 through 9 concerning this. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That means teach them through discipline, through chastisement, through whatever means that will cause them to adhere to it, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You see how critical that is? This is what Moses is rehearsing to Israel. And to complete it, verse 19 through 21 says, to cast out all thy enemies from before thee, as the Lord has spoken. And when thy son asks thee in the time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord thy God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. This is significant that we teach, and chastising and discipline is a part of that teaching. Now let's go to Hebrews, and we're going to see what the Hebrew writer said about this. In Hebrews, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 5 through 11. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11, and this is what the Hebrew writer says concerning this. The Hebrew writer says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening or the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, and scorneth every son which he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrects us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So you see how critical that the Hebrew writer is telling us about chastising. It is critical that we are disciplined to follow the laws of God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that without discipline, there is disorder. And disorder leads to chaos. To be decent and in order, there must be chastisement. So my brothers and sisters, as we understand that it may last for an evening. David the psalmist says that weariness may last for an evening, but joy shall come in the morning. And that's the key. When you realize that that discipline and that chastisement has given you correct direction, and you will see that before you transition out of this experience, this side of eternity, if you are obedient. Okay. Let's go to the next instruction. turn with me, if you will, back to Proverbs chapter 19. Again, we're going to look at verse 20 in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. And this is the instruction, which is verbatim for the same as the text reads, counsel and receive instruction. My precious brothers, this is, and sisters, this is so significant. Listen to what the instruction or the text reads. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. That's exactly why we are studying together tonight, to show ourselves approved, that we understand that what is being written in BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible, is written for our counsel and for our instruction. And if we receive it, we will receive the ultimate, which would be our soul salvation. I see we're at the last break for this evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Love, the most beautiful thing in the world that you and I look for is love. I mean, you have heard the joke, haven't you? What do you get when you hear a country music song playing backwards? Well, you get your pickup truck back, you get your house back, you get this back, you get that back. All of country music is on love, and it's on romance. My wife and I have been married for 47 years. Yeah. I know I don't look it, I just look 25 or something like that. But you know what? I'll never forget the day I met her. She was 16. I was 20. I just come from India. She was from Canada. And when I looked at her, I wasn't listening much to the sermon that day. I was looking at her across, and I thought, that's the one I want to meet. And strangely enough, she thought the same thing. And now, after 47 years, in fact, coming up in 2-3 months, will be 48, as Margie and I have been wed, I want to tell you two things about love. It's hard work. It's hard work. You see, when you put the ring on that finger, it is a tourniquet to stop your circulation. When you say yes to her, you're really saying no to everyone else. Do you realize it's the greatest compliment you pay a human being when you take them at their word when they say, I do? Do you realize that? Young people, let me tell you something. G.K. Chesterton put it this way, free love is a black and white contradiction in two words. Love was never intended to be free. It is the nature of love to bind itself. It is the nature of love to bind itself. And the consummate expression is the most sacred expression of all physically, which actually represents the spiritual consummation of two people saying, I do. C.S. Lewis says there are four kinds of love. Agape love, the love of God. Storge love, parental love, which is protection. Phileo, which is brotherly love or friendship love. Eros, which is romantic love. Agape, storge, phileo, eros. And the other three have no point of reference without the first. They have no point of reference without the first. You cannot really define love until you understand the one who has created you and me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You cannot love without giving. And God gave to us the most precious gift of all in his Son. Love cannot be defined apart from God. And if our culture is messed up, it's messed up right here. We have no longer a definition or a point of reference for love. You love your car, you love your house, you love your dog, you love blue, you love Italian food, you love Indian food, you love your wife. Same word. Not so for the Greeks. They had agape, storge, phileo, eros, and the last three hung on the peg of the first. And if you are living with a broken heart today because of a broken love, you probably had that love broken because somebody didn't hang love on the peg of the eternal love of God himself.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to look at hear counsel and receive instructions. And this is so significant because, like I mentioned before the break, we have 66 books in the Bible, and each book is giving us instruction on how to conduct ourselves and please God this side of eternity. And if we are faithful to that trust and we do the best that we can, and through repentance, through Jesus Christ, that adds another layer of resilience, you might say, for us, because no man cannot keep what God has commanded, because he's commanded us to be perfect. But because of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion, we have repentance, and we can still stay in good favor with God. So that's the counsel we want to hear. And we want to remember the instructions, everything that's written in here. And again, it says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, it says, hear good counsel and receive instructions that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And of course, that is wisely said because it's telling us not from the beginning of our infancy. It's towards the end of what life we are living. The sooner the better, of course. But the longer you live, you should wise up because of the instructions that you receive from basic instructions before leaving Earth. So let's look at the book of Deuteronomy. It's going to amplify this because you know that in Deuteronomy, what Moses did was he reiterated, he rehearsed for Israel everything that transpired in the first four books of the Law of Moses. He in Genesis and Numbers and Leviticus and Exodus, in those four books, those things that transpired that was significant for Israel to accomplish and to know, he reiterated it in Deuteronomy. And the reason he did is because God cursed those who were originally extricated from Egypt when the Pharaoh let the people go, because they gave such a rough time to Moses and disobedience toward God that he made them walk in the desert for 40 years. And he swore that they would not enter into his rest, as the Hebrew writer says. So they could not come in to the land of milk and honey except for Joshua and Caleb and those youngsters that had grown up during that time frame. So Moses knew it was meet, and God directed it, that he would write the book of Deuteronomy, or at least he would have the book of Deuteronomy rehearsed so that Israel would know exactly what they needed to do, hearing the counsel and receiving the instruction. So this is what Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1 and 2. He said, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he had made with them in Horeb. Now, this is the second indication of the covenant, and he just said that. Those who were at Mount Sinai, which is Horeb, they died, each one of them except for Caleb and Joshua, as I told you. So this here is the one that he's reiterating, and it's the whole book of Deuteronomy. Verse 2, he says, "And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all of his servants and unto all his land." Then verse 29, he completes the thought. He says, "The secret things belong unto God, the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." That's the good counsel and instruction, that God is going to give us what we need to get through this, and we must learn it and receive it and apply it. Now let's go to the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations, chapter 3, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we are talking about. And in the book of Revelations, we know this is the revelation or the instruction that God gave Jesus Christ to give to us, and he sent it and he revealed it by his servant John. And that is exactly what Revelations chapter 1, verse 1 says. This is, my precious brothers and sisters, the book of Revelations, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his servant John. Now, this is the correct counsel and the instructions that Jesus is actually giving to us. And remember, to give you a little background, when Jesus was leaning on the Temple Mount with his apostles in the Gospels, they asked Jesus, when was the end going to come? And when would he return? And when would all of these things happen? And Jesus told them that no one knew. He didn't know, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father, which is in heaven. But when Jesus died and he resurrected and ascended into heaven, then God gave him this information and he sent it back to us. So this is critical to hear this counsel and to receive this instruction. Listen to what Jesus said in Revelations chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. This is what Jesus said. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou may seest. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." Remember, we talked about chastening the son a minute ago. "Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door," Jesus says, "and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear," Jesus says, "let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." That's critical, my brothers and sisters, for us to hear this counsel and to receive it and to apply it. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that faith, meaning counseling, cometh by hearing, meaning instruction, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And that's exactly what we receive. That completes the lesson for this evening. And before we sign off, I would like to say in behalf of the host and I, that we appreciate and thank you and bless you for being with us tonight. And
thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for basic instructions before leaving Earth. Good night.